How you guys doing? Did you have a good day? Let's pray. Father in heaven, just come before you now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to ask for your Holy Spirit to come now and be in this place. Lord, you know the hearts of each person sitting here tonight. And Lord, I just want to ask you to come into our hearts. Come right now, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and dwell in this place. I bring the cross of Jesus Christ against the devil and his angels and anything they would like to do here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood, I command them to leave this place now. Lord Jesus, I just ask right now again that you would be lifted up. And you promise that when you're lifted up, you will draw hearts to you. And so, Lord, I just ask right now that that would happen tonight again. And Father, I just ask that you would speak through me one more time. And I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be here with these kids this week. They're awesome. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. All the people said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I've had a fun day. I've been in, a lot of Bible classes and a lot of conversations with a lot of people. And my voice is actually pretty tired. But I think I can make it happen one more time. Actually, I can't make anything happen one more time. That's not true. God can make it happen one more time. So I'm really glad to be here with you guys. This has been such an awesome week. So much fun. I'm still going to be here tomorrow. Who's going to the Habitat for Humanity project? All right, that's my group. Cool. Yeah, and I'll be here Saturday too. So I really want to tell you guys, I'd still like to talk to you. I've met new people every day. I met a whole bunch of new people today. And I'm really sorry that I have a problem with names, but I stink at names. And so you all, Alex. All right. Yeah, so you guys know how hard I have. Yeah, so a lot of you have forgotten your names, but I don't forget your face. I'll remember a face. And so hopefully you'd be happy when I look at you and say, hey, I remember you, because that's probably what it's going to be like a week from now. So anyway, it's really great to be here, spend some time with you. I think maybe we should sing one more song, just because I like to sing. Is that working?
Is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is thy daily bread, your very word spoken to me. Sing out, and I'm desperate for you. Your holy presence living. thy daily bread. This is thy daily bread. Your very word spoken to me.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Get up. I'm about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Your hands and my hands." It says that a mob of men came to arrest Jesus. Soldiers, priests, says they came with torches and weapons to arrest the same man who had never done a single thing wrong with his hands. Never hit anybody. Never hurt anybody. The only thing he ever used his hands for was to touch and heal and make people whole. But they came with torches and swords and shields, weapons, to arrest the God of the universe. And it says that his friend, Judas, led the crowd. And he walked up to him, and he couldn't look him in the eyes. And he said, "Hail, Master." And he kissed him. And Jesus said, "Would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" It's amazing all the little things that we would choose to betray the Son of Man with, if we think we're so much better than Judas. Jesus, it says in the book of John, it doesn't say that when this people came to arrest him, it doesn't say that he went and hid behind a rock. He didn't go and try to hide behind a tree. He didn't say, "Run!" No. Before that, it says angels came into the garden and they strengthened him. And when those guys came to arrest him, Jesus stood up and it says that he walked toward them. What a man. He walked toward the people who were going to arrest him, and they said, and then he said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth," and Judas kissed him, and he said, "I am he." And with the words, "I am," it was like something flashed out of him, and it says that it knocked the entire crowd flat on their backs. That's power. It says in the Bible, he spoke and it stood fast. When he created the world, he commanded and it was done. When God speaks, things happen. He always speaks the truth. And when he said, "I am," he said his name. again. I am God. I am He. And when He did that, it knocked Him flat. These men were so filled with the devil that even after being knocked flat by a word, they got up, grabbed their swords, and then said, "Where'd he go? There he is!" And then they came back at him, and they grabbed him, and they arrested him. Peter, thinking that he could do something great, thinking that he could save God, grabbed a sword and came charging into the melee and cut off Malchus's ear. Ear falls on the ground. Jesus bends down and picks up the man's ear and reaches up the man's ear and puts it back, pulls his hand away, and everything's fine. And still, after seeing that, they arrest him. It says that the disciples, who all swore that they would never betray him, they all freaked out and they all ran, every single one of them. That's all of his friends. It says that they begin to hit him. They begin to punch him in the face. It says that they grabbed his beard and they yanked it out. It says in Isaiah that he was completely unrecognizable because they beat him so badly. We've been talking this week about your wounds, about the things that you've suffered in life, the things that you've been through. And tonight I want you to see what that looks like when Jesus goes through it for you. When Jesus takes your punishment, He takes what you deserve. They drug Him into Jerusalem and they took him to Pilate. And while they had him there at Pilate's, they took a crown of thorns, big huge thorns like that, and they made a crown, they stuck it on his head and they shoved it down, and then they took a stick and they smacked him on the crown of thorns and they hit him, driving the crown of thorns into his scalp. And they said, "Prophesy! Who hit you?" It says they mocked him. It says they spit in his face. Spit in the face of their Creator. Pilate questioned him. Pilate questioned him. They have this conversation about truth. And throughout all the questioning between Pilate and Herod and back to Pilate, Jesus says very little, very little. He's pretty quiet. Except for He does say one thing to Pilate. Pilate says, "Don't you know? You're standing here all quiet. Don't you know I have the power to set you free? I have the power to put you to death? Don't you know that?" And Jesus says to him, You have no power over me," basically is what He says. You would have no power except that what God gives you from above. You see, the picture of Jesus between Gethsemane and the cross is a picture of a man that's doing everything he can to get to the cross. He could have defended himself. He's the smartest man that ever lived. He could have put up an excellent defense. He could have spoke to Pilate and Herod and convinced them both not to crucify Him. But it says He hardly said a word. He stood silent because He was on His way to the cross for you and for me. Pilate thought, "Well, maybe if I just give Him a good beating, maybe the crowd will be happy then." So he told the soldiers, "Chastise Him, and then I'll let Him go." So they took out a whip called a cat of nine tails. It's got bits of glass and metal in the end of it. And they begin to whip him with it. And the Romans were excellent at it. They actually learned how to whip a man so that if they hit him one more time, they would die. His back was torn to shreds. Legs torn to shreds. After they got done doing that, Pilate brought him out before the crowd, and the crowd yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" They chose to have Pilate release a thief over the Son of God. They brought out a big, huge, heavy wooden cross and they put it on his shoulders and they ordered him to carry it. So now Jesus has a crown of thorns on his head. His back is lacerated. His body has been beaten. His beard's been ripped out. He's bleeding. And in addition to all that, he's carrying in his heart your sins and mine. And he's struggling under the load of guilt, under the load of sorrow, under the load of murder, under the load of adultery, under the load of lust, under the load of all the nasty sins of this world, all the wars, all the famine, all the pestilence, all the earthquake, all this terrible stuff that's happened is in his heart. It's happening inside his heart. And he's trying to carry that burden as he's on his way to Golgotha. And he can't handle that cross. And he falls under the weight. And so they grab a man named Simon and they have him carry the cross for him. They get up to the hill and they lay the cross down and they take him and they strip him. The movies are really nice. But Jesus hung on the cross for you, totally, completely stripped. Totally, completely vulnerable. They drove nails into his hands. They drove a nail into his feet. And as the nails were driven in, the words that came out of his mouth was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Picked up the cross and they slid it into a hole in the ground and it dropped and his body was rocked. And for 6 hours, Jesus hung between heaven and earth for you and for me. What a God. Willing to come down here in the midst of all of our sin and all of our messed up lives and do that for you and me. After 6 hours hanging on the cross, Jesus said the words, "It is finished." And it says that he hung his head and he died. It is finished. What was finished? All of your hurt, all of your addiction, all of your pain, all of your sin, all that stuff you're experiencing from the divorce that your family's going through, all the pain in your heart from the betrayal, all the pain in your heart from the breakup, all of the regret that you have over the sin that you fell into, all of the stuff that we've been talking about this week in Bible class and those of you who have come and talked to me, all of that stuff, it is finished. It's done. It's over. He put it to death for you when He hung His head and died. There's freedom waiting for you in the cross of Jesus Christ. They took Jesus off the cross. They wrapped Him in some grave clothes. And they laid Him in a tomb. And they rolled a stone across it. And if that's where the story ended, guys, then I wouldn't have a story to tell you. That'd be the end of the story. Because do you know how many people hung on crosses back in His day? Tons. Lots of people were crucified on crosses. Lots of people went through a death like that. The Romans, that was as an execution. But that's not the end of the story. It says that He laid in the grave for part of 3 days. Pilate was really worried because, and so were the chief priests, they were all worried because they had heard that Jesus said something about coming back to life again. So they were really worried about that. And they said, you know what, we need to do something about this. We should seal the tomb off because His disciples might come and steal the body and say He's alive. We don't want that to happen. So we need to get that tomb sealed. So they had the Romans come and they put chains across the tomb and they sealed that sucker and they put a whole bunch of guards in front of that tomb so that His body would be for sure in there. That's not the end of the story. Because on Sunday morning, at the crack of dawn, Mary Magdalene, one of His closest followers, she couldn't stay away from Him anymore, and she decided to get up. And as she was on her way, she's walking down to the tomb. All of a sudden, the ground starts to shake, and she sees a flash of light going from the sky, like down and towards where she's headed. She's like, what was that? And the ground is shaking, and then everything kind of calms down. And she comes walking up to the garden, and she looks, and the stone has been rolled away. And she sees there's like a sword laying over here, and there's a helmet laying over here, and there's a shield over here, and there's a couple blankets. And she's thinking, what in the world happened here? And she notices that the chains that are hanging off that stone, they're broken. And she stands there in the garden, and she's just overcome because now she sees that the tomb is empty and her Lord's not there and she doesn't know what to do. So she says she stood there in the garden and she's weeping. She's crying. She's upset because her Lord's not here. The one who set her free is gone. She doesn't know where He's at. So she's standing there and she's weeping. She's crying. And all of a sudden she hears a voice behind her saying, woman, why are you crying? She turns around and she's looking through tears, you know? You guys ever look through tears? Everything's a little blurry. She looks through tears and she says, she thinks it's the gardener. She says, sir, if you've taken His body, if you know where it's at, can you just tell me where you laid Him so I can be near Him? And Jesus says one word, Mary. And it says that she ran to Him. She grabs onto Him and she's clinging onto Him. And He says, don't cling on to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. And she can't believe it. In her eyes, she can't believe He's alive. That's the beauty of this story. Jesus is alive, you guys. He took your sins on the cross. He buried them in the grave and He left them there. So you don't have to carry Him around anymore. No. You don't have to carry around your addiction anymore. You can find freedom from that in Jesus Christ. You don't have to carry around your hurt anymore. You don't have to carry around your pain anymore. You can bring it out into the light because Jesus buried it. One of my favorite stories about Jesus after the resurrection is the disciples. They don't know what to do with themselves. They've been hanging out with Jesus for 3 years. They haven't been fishing or nothing. They've just been following around, like, oh, there goes Jesus. Let's stay with Jesus. Whatever Jesus does, they're following Jesus. They were watching Jesus. And so they're all hanging out and they don't know what to do with themselves. And finally Peter says, that's it, I'm going fishing. And all the rest are like, all right, let's go fishing. So they go fishing. They fish all night long. And they're coming back in after a miserable night of fishing. And they haven't caught a thing. And there's some guy standing on the shore. And he goes, hey, yeah, you guys catch anything out there? No. Miserable night. You guys ever done that when you're camping? How's the fish in there in the fishing hole? Terrible. And then the guy on the shore says, hey, throw the net on the other side of the boat, man. And Peter goes, huh? And John and Peter, and they draw in the net and they throw it on the other side of the boat, and instantly it's full of fish. And Peter does the strangest thing. Instead of just jumping in, like most people would take off their clothes and jump in the water, Peter puts on his clothes and jumps in the water. So excited. Swims to the shore, his clothes are like all up around his head, comes out, and there's Jesus sitting on the shore, just hanging out, waiting for Peter. And he's got a fire burning. And he's cooking breakfast. I love Jesus. He's so cool. And he says, hey, bring some of the fish you caught and let's eat. And they have breakfast together. Why would Jesus do that? Because he wants to hang out with you. He wants to set you free. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to eat breakfast with you. What a God. What an awesome God, you guys. I choose to follow Him. And I want you to choose the same. I want you to follow Jesus. He loves you so much. I know that there's some people sitting here tonight, right now, that have chosen not to believe. They have chosen not to follow God. I guess there's just a part of me that just wants to beg you, plead with you. Say, please, just give it a shot. I remember sitting in college and I had come to the place in my life where I didn't believe in God anymore. But there was this little nagging voice in the back of my head. It was my mom. My mom used to always say, you should just pray. Just talk to God. Just try it. Just pray, you know? Just read your Bible and pray. Just try it. And it just drove me nuts because she'd ask me all the time, did you read your Bible and pray today? And I'd say, no, I read Louis L'Amour. You know? And did you read your Bible and pray today? No, Mom. Leave me alone. But when I was in college and I got to that place where I didn't believe in God, I thought this. Okay, I don't believe, but here's the thing, what I'm going to do. For 1 month, I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray. 1 month. And if I don't see any results, then I know that God's not real. And then I'm just going to go my own way and do my own thing. Do whatever I want to do. But the strangest thing started happening. I started reading my Bible and praying. And one day I was walking along the sidewalk talking to one of my friends. And he said to me, dude, are you okay? I said, yeah, why? He's like, well, you just seem happy. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, man, you just seem different. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, I lied. I don't know. And then I remember I was at a party, and I was standing there with a substance in my hand, and this girl walked up to me, who wasn't even a Christian, and she said to me, what are you doing here? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing here? I said, what are you doing here? She goes, you're not supposed to be here. You're like supposed to be like a pastor or something. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? But I got to tell you guys, in a month, my heart began to change. When I started to hang out with God, if you think that if you think that you don't believe in God right now, if you're sitting here going, yeah, I don't really believe, I don't even want to, if that's what you're thinking, then try Him out. Prove Him wrong. I dare you. Spend some time with Him. He's going to get through to you. I promise. He loves you so much. I want to sing a song for you.
Father, please forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, please forgive them. They do not mean to hurt you, but they do. And don't know, as they pierce my skin and drive the nails in, they're killing me with their sin. Oh Father, please forgive them, as they nail me to this tree. As they watch me die here, please draw them all to me. Please do, because I know that their souls are lost. They do not count the cost, and they'll find them at this cross. Oh, Father, please tell me why I feel such pain. Guilt and grief and sorrow and heavy, horrible shame. Yeah, I do. And I know I can't let go, I can't accept this. I wanna run, I wanna run. My God, why have you forsaken me? You placed on me the world's iniquity. My heart is like wax, it's melted within. You bring me to the dust of death. I am sin. I am sin. I am sin. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. Jesus, thank you for hanging on the tree. You set me free.
Let's pray. Father, tonight, I want to pray for these students. Lord, you know exactly where they're at in their heart right now at this very moment. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will move on their heart, that you will help them to try you out, to believe in you and what you've done for them. And Lord, for those who believe, for those who have decided to have you be their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you would reign in them, that you would reign in me, Lord, that you would have the only controlling interest in our lives. Lord, help us to remember when we're struggling with sin that you already died for it, and that through your death and your resurrection, Lord, and what you did for us, we can be set free from sin, from hurt, from addiction, from pain, from all the things that the devil is throwing at us and trying to take us out with. Help these kids not to forget that, Lord. Help them to be reminded what you did for them, Lord, all the time. Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, to watch you and to pray and to be in conversation with you, Lord. I just pray your blessings over the rest of this evening. Thank you so much for these kids. Lord, be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an awesome night, guys. For those of you who want to stay after for a little bit of singing and prayer, you're welcome. The rest of you, have a great night.